post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. Michelle Bertrand's in the studio this week. How are you, Michelle?
I'm well, thank you, Eamon.
That's good, even though your team's not doing well in Newcastle.
I know. I should send out some commiserations to the Newcastle Jet fans.
They certainly need a lot of it. And Fitzam Haptamarian is with us as well. Fitzam, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you, Eamon?
Not too bad. Okay, what's coming up in the show, Michelle?
Well, in the first half hour, we chat to CN Machewski. And we're going to be talking Socceroos, A-League, W-League, and we've got the big issues, quiz, dedications, and more.
And you can contact us, email us at nearpost2xx@gmail.com or catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And, of course, you can listen to us streaming wide out there across the world. Last week, Andy from Glasgow tuned in and he sent me an email on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning saying how good we were. So thanks, Andy. Hope you listen again. And he's an Aberdeen fan, but I told him to go and watch Celtic.
Better than Rangers, anyway.
Absolutely better than Rangers. Now, we dedicate the show every week as usual. And this week I'm going to dedicate it to a young Indigenous Australian, a guy who ran in the far post as opposed to near post. I'm sick of the ball flying past, forwards in the A-League. And this time it went flying towards the far post. And this time Taj Minican ran in and tucked it in. It's as simple as that, lads. You just got to get in at the back post and just tuck it in. And that's how easy it is. And he made it look easy. And you see so many balls flying past all season. People say, oh, this guy hasn't scored and that guy hasn't scored. Well, there's a reason why they haven't scored. It's because they're not anticipating. And Minicon, Indigenous Australian, well done. Now, quiz question this week is, name the captains of all the A-League clubs. And Michelle, you were away last week, so I hope you're up to speed this week, because if you're not, you're going to get it in the neck.
Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links. And Canberra listeners can hear Russ Gibbs' analysis of Canberra United coming up after the 7 o'clock Canberra time. And also Canberra listeners can phone in 7 o'clock and we'll be giving the number out later on. Now, name the captains of the A-League clubs. Michelle, I'll let you go first.
I'll go for another Indigenous, Jade North.
Jade North from Newcastle. Fitzam.
Travis Dodd.
Travis Dodd, Adelaide.
Craig Moore,
yeah. Okay, Queen's the rule.
Coyne for Perth.
Coyne, Jamie Coyne.
Muscat, Melbourne.
Kevin Muscat, you go. Yeah, fantastic. He's on fire, Fitzam. Right?
What about Wellington? Is it Smelt?
It's not Shane Smelt. Oh, Shane.
We weren't going to bring the name up.
Because I like Shane. Well, I think he should be captain. We don't want to. They've got it wrong.
We're not interested in who you like, Michelle. we're going with Sydney. We've got Sydney. Who else have we got? Sydney Central Coast and Wellington. Okay, Sydney. Come on.
I know it used to be...
Popovich.
Popovich. Popovich
is gone. He's a long time now.
It's been a while. He was on the field last week.
Who is it?
I don't know. Aloisi?
He plays it. Oh, you got to play to be a captain. Who is it? Number 10.
Corica.
Stevie Corica.
Oh, that's right.
And as Robbie Slater would say, isn't he playing well today? Doesn't matter what day it is. So that leaves Central Coast. I'm going to give you this one. Alex Wilkinson, I think it is, isn't it? Alex Wilkinson.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The back.
See, you should have known that.
Yeah, you should, Fitzy, because it's your teammate. And Wellington Phoenix.
I don't really care.
Come on, Michelle, it's your team. Ex-team.
No idea.
Your ex-teammate. Old fella from Newcastle.
Durante.
Andrew Durante, yeah. So there you go. Well done. You did well, Fitzy.
Yeah, you did very well.
Okay. Right. We're going to talk A-League. Four games. Here they go. What were the scores? The scores were Melbourne Victory 2, Central Coast Mariners 1, so Adelaide United 2, Sydney FC 0, and Wellington Phoenix 2 with the Shane Smeltz goal, Newcastle Jets 0, and the Queensland Roar 4, I have to repeat that because they've scored 4, Queensland Roar 4, Perth Glory 1. First of all, we might just start talking about Melbourne Victory Central Coast. It was the top of the table clash. What are your thoughts, Fitzen?
Well, that's the only time that it hasn't worked for Laurie, starting with three strikers. seems to kind of counterworked against him. Although Melbourne deserved to win on the day. But again, I think the second goal that Archie Thompson scored was an offside goal. And the one that Wilkes, the one that...
Pondo,
yeah. Namescapes. No.
Oh, Hutchison.
No, the other goal that got disallowed for.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
that
actually,
was a goal.
Now that you think about it, Dylan McAllister, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Central Coast were robbed.
Well, they were robbed.
Could have been, should have been, they lost.
They did, but the two things about that game that I thought was the Central Coast did play three forwards and they got a lucky goal to take the lead and they were playing quite well. But McKinnon didn't change his tactics.
No, he didn't.
And he just kept with the three up front. And when you've got those three and Pondoliak, so basically you've got four attackers. Now, the A-League's not renowned for having lots and lots of attackers on the field. So they have four players because Caceres doesn't really come back.
No, so no, he doesn't do any defending.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot, I thought, with their strategy.
Well, I think if the goal McAllister scored had been allowed, it would be a different story. And the goal that Archie Thompson, he's too quick for everyone, but I think he was offside when he scored that goal.
Yeah, okay. So, but I mean, it was a good game, I thought.
I think it was a top of table clash and it turned out that way.
And Melbourne, to me, are looking like one of the exciting teams of the season.
Especially at home.
Yeah, and now Nate Fabiano's back and that, and Archie, of course. They just got that bit of movement. I mean, they could leave Carlos Hernandez on the bench. That's how good they
are. Yeah, I think that's one thing is that we haven't noticed that he's been out a couple of times and they've still gone out and did what they had to do.
And Nate Fabiano is starting to impress, is he?
Definitely. I think he started off pretty well his A-League career, unlucky to miss out a lot of the games because of the ban.
Well, if you go spitting at people, you're not that unlucky. But
yeah, that's what they say. But
all right, we won't go there. Yeah, okay. Okay, Adelaide United, Sydney. We love talking about the demise of Sydney FC and it just goes on every year.
Well, I think from the beginning we said that they were overrated. I think it's pretty much going that way now.
John Cosmina said they're playing well. He said they played well against Adelaide.
Yeah, they just don't seem to win games.
What game was he watching?
I don't know.
How many shots did the striker have, John Aloisi?
Did he have any shots?
No, so I don't know how he could say how can he say he's playing well? Then,
so how many goals has he scored now?
That's right, one. He scored one.
He'll end up 4-1, I think, at the end of the year.
That's not bad.
Terry McFlynn swore at the referee, got sent off. What an idiot,
as we call it in my family, what a Gumby. He is a Gumby.
Maybe we should not have a dedication of the week. We should have Gumby at the week.
But then
we'd have too many because we'd have Joel Griffiths and Mark Milligan and the ref in the women's league game at Canberra United. I mean, the whole heap
there's
of them.
There's a few of them, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I'm still not on that list. So Gumby of the week, Terry McFlynn. But Cozzy thinks he did the right thing.
How can he think that? I mean, it wasn't even that bad of a tackle. Obviously, he came off worse, but there was nothing that the referee could have done about it. There's no point in having to go at the referee.
Sydney were a bit unlucky, but... You know, they bought Colosimo. Now, he's been injured. They bought Mitchell Prentice. They bought Stuart Michalak. They bought Mark Bridge. They bought Aloisi. They bought half a team. They're just hopeless. I mean, in fairness to Cozzy, they said they played 27 players in the, 12 games, which is,
Well, still, it looks like they're losing half a team again now. So,
well, that's right. You have to wonder, why do they want to go? But I guess there's more money for Fife and... you wouldn't think Adelaide would be able to pay more money, would you?
And they were at home too. So that's probably why the crowds are not going to the Sydney game anymore.
No, they were away for that one.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were, okay. But Sasha Gronowski and Travis Dodd got the goals. Wellington Phoenix, Newcastle Jets. Fred was back, obviously brought in the crowds by 5,500 there. So it just makes you wonder how many they would have had if Fred hadn't turned up. So good on you, Fred. It is interesting. Whenever they get a player that you think, well, that'll bring in a few, it never seems to happen. It almost like, whether it's Juninho, possibly Dwight York did, but other than that, you wonder whether these guys really do bring in the cards.
Yeah, but I think if Fred was to come back to Melbourne, I reckon he would have brought a couple of extra thousand people there.
They're playing Melbourne next week, in Wellington. Now, what's interesting to me is Wellington are actually
above.
They are in a team in eight places. In eight team comp, they are sixth. That's pretty high for Wellington.
Well, that's the best they've done. I think that's the best they'll do either.
They're only a point behind Sydney, and anyone can overtake Sydney. Newcastle Jets.
Not Newcastle.
What about Michelle?
Well, Newcastle Jets lucky that Perth is going bad as well. Even though they're not playing as bad as Newcastle
Jets,
they're just
problems.
Unlucky.
Two send-offs. Where's the discipline there?
Well, as we were saying earlier, the coach set the precedent, and it looks like a couple of the players have followed. And Mark Milligan is known to come up with a few rush tackles here and there.
Although I didn't think that was so bad. What did you think?
Well, I think if the intention was to get the ball and anything around it, and if he had got the player, I think that would have caused the that would have been a first and last game for Fred.
Yeah, well, that's true. Joel Griffiths, of course, shows great discipline. I think he's just upset because his brother said he was leaving during the week to the Gold Coast. He seems like he'd lost the plot.
They're all frustrated.
Yeah, he's a Mikey player too.
He is a Mikey.
I don't know if you want a Mikey player that's going to get up and kick people.
But no, he hasn't had a good season, has he?
No, he hasn't. And obviously, that's the frustration that got to him at that time. I think he was trying to get the ball off Dodd. I'm not sure. Or he'd lost the ball and he wasn't happy about losing a ball, so he thought he'd have a go at the legs.
Okay, Queensland Royal 4, Perth Glory 1. I watched this bit of this game, and Perth were they were going very well in the first half. 44 minutes gone, and there was only one team in this. There was only one winner. Queensland were going to lose again. Two goals in injury time in the first half, and it was all over.
Yeah, I think the first about 20 minutes of that game that Perth had, I think, close to 70% possession, which I think at the end, I guess even in the second half, they did fight pretty much all the way to the end.
Sergio van Dijk scored another goal from a penalty. That's his second goal of the season, two penalties. So, but Charlie Miller, we have to mention Charlie Miller, ghosted in at the far post. And
nice technique on the volley there.
Technique for a Rangers player. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, Minicon had a similar chance where he skied it, I think. But he had to stretch a bit. He had a similar volley towards the end.
Okay, the games this week, Wellington, Melbourne, Michella, Fred playing against his old team.
I'm going for Melbourne. 2-0.
2-0. Fits.
I'm probably going to go with 3-0 there.
Yeah, I agree. Melbourne to win. Sydney versus Queensland?
Sydney-Queensland, I think are playing at home. And Sydney definitely need to win. But then again, Queensland do well away. So I'll probably go with a 1-0 draw.
I think Queensland away will win that one.
Yeah, 1-0 to Queensland.
Okay, and Perth, Central Coast?
I'm going to go for Perth.
Central Coast is going to clean them up. 3-0.
I think, no, I'm with Michelle, Nikki Rukovic here to bring it home. And Newcastle versus Adelaide.
I think now that Joel is not playing, I think we might get a chance to win.
Ooh, we've got no forwards, so you think that's going to help?
Well,
okay, so Newcastle to win, what do you think, Fitzen?
I think it'll be Adelaide. Adelaide are on the rise again. I think Adelaide will win 2-1.
Yeah,
I'll be optimistic.
Okay, well, there you go. That's the early wrap. We'll be back to talk soccer ruse in a moment. We're going to talk Women's League. At first, we're going to catch up with Canberra United player Sian Michalski. She's suspended from the game this weekend against Perth, but her team took on Adelaide last weekend and drew 0-0. This is what Sian had to say. I'm joined now by Sian Michalski from Canberra United. Sian, you're suspended from this weekend's game against Perth Glory. But first of all, just to catch up on last weekend's game, how did you find that? You're up against 10 players for most of the game. How did you find that personally?
Being in the centre midfield, I found it pretty tough having to run around the centre midfield because they had to bring Sash back from the striker, and which hasn't been training in the centre mid. So I found it quite tough having to do most of the running around. Like, I wanted Sash to be more of the attacking midfield, and I just held. So I found it hard, but I think us as a team, I think we held them out very well, having 10 men right from the start. So very proud of the girls, and I think we've done very well to be able to hold them out with 10 men. It was hard, obviously, but we've done our job, so it was we've done really well.
Now, you've really made an impression, Sian, for a lot of supporters in the last 5 weeks. You know, your powerful running and aggression on the ball, it's been a real note and feature of your play. How are you enjoying it?
Oh, I'm loving it, loving the game. I haven't really used my physicalness and my build as a quality or an advantage. It's just something that's just been kind of looked at in this tournament. So it's actually something that now I can start using to my advantage. So I'm absolutely loving it, and I'm loving playing it. This is a high-tempo game again, and I'm glad I've actually taken the step and done it.
Now, the game on the weekend, obviously, Thea Slatcher was sent off, and a lot of the supporters were very concerned about the standing of refereeing. Have you got any thoughts on that?
I think not too much to comment on. I think the referee kind of spoke for herself on the weekend. It's very disappointing. I think she kind of hurt us in the game. Giving out 6 cards in a soccer match, I don't think is very fair, considering it wasn't such a physical game. So there's not too much to comment about the referee, I think.
Sure enough. Very, very, very diplomatic, Sian. Very diplomatic. Well done. What about... So with the 10 players, though, I thought you did exceptionally well. How hard was it trying to get forward and supporting young Ashley Sykes?
Yeah, it was very hard having Ash up there all on her own. But like I said, in the centre mid, I tried to keep Sasha as a more of attacking striker and then me holding her back where normally I would be the attacker and Grace would hold. So we kind of had to change it around a little bit. But I think we've done relatively well trying to get as many bodies as we could in the box. And I think we executed as much as we could. So I think the girls and I done very well to try to work with the 10 men and try to help Ash up front.
Now, halfway through the season, you're in fourth spot. Are you reasonably happy with that?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We obviously aiming to get higher and obviously practising a lot of things at training to try to finish it so we can actually get a few points on the board, as in goal-wise. But yeah, we're all very stoked with fourth place. Considering the competition of the other teams, it's very equal, so we're pretty stoked.
Cheers. I noticed Newcastle signed a couple of Swedish players this week, which will obviously improve their standard. Now, you're playing Perth this weekend, and you're up against another Canberran in the Perth side. Louise Mozzetto signed as a keeper for Perth.
Most of the girls have known Louise for a while, so we kind of know her keeper techniques and things like that. She's very good in the air. Keeping things along the ground is a way to get around her, because she's a very strong keeper. So it will be tough having Louise in keeper, but because we do know her more so than the other keeper, I think we can work with that and get things around her.
Who do you think will slot in to replace you in the centre midfield?
I was actually thinking about that. I don't know what Robbie's got in mind, as well as having Sia out of the back there, so not too sure what he has in mind.
And will you travel this weekend or just stay home and train?
Me and Sia are both unallowed to go away, so I'll just be staying home training and hopefully having a little bit of a sleep in the morning.
Okay. Well, good luck, Sian, and good luck to Canberra United this weekend, and hopefully you remain in the top four for the rest of the season. That was Sian Macheski from Canberra United. Fitzon, what were the scores of the Women's League on the weekend?
Canberra United drew against Adelaide United, nil all. That's with Thea Slattery being sent off for Canberra United. Queensland Roar won against Melbourne Victory, 2-0. The other game was Central Coast and Sydney FC played, and Sydney FC won 2-0. And last game was Newcastle Jets and Perth Glory, where Newcastle smacked Perth 4-1.
4-1. Newcastle got a couple of Swedish players signed up, and I think Melbourne Victory got a few Canadians, or one Canadian and a few two Canadians. No, two New Zealanders and a Canadian. Yep, and Adelaide, I think, out of Canadians. So a few foreign players coming into the league, which is good to see. Now, this weekend, Sydney play Queensland, their top of the table clash.
That's right.
And who else is up?
And you've got Adelaide United and Melbourne Victory.
Okay.
Central Coast and Newcastle Jets and Perth, Canberra.
So I'm going for a Canberra win in the Canberra-Perth game. Of course we are, aren't we?
Of course.
Adelaide, who do you say Adelaide will play?
Adelaide are playing Melbourne Victory, so that's going to be an interesting game.
That will be a tight game. I think that will be another draw.
Yeah, 1-1, I'm guessing, as well.
And Sydney-Queensland, I'm going for Queensland in the top of the table clash there.
Queensland on top at the moment, and I probably expect them to stay there as well.
And we've got local derby.
The last one is, Central Coast and Newcastle.
I think Newcastle are coming home strong, so they're improving.
Newcastle will win.
Well, yeah. They've got to make up for the boys' team, so I think.
Okay. So we'll be talking more Women's W League with Russ Gibbs in the second half of the show, in the camera part of the show, so stay with us for that. Now, we're going to talk to Terry Henry. Terry, are you on the line? Terry, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, Terry, it's great to hear your lovely voice. Now then, Terry, what's on your mind this week? You've always got something on your mind about football. What's going on for you?
I've got lots on my mind this week, and after listening to you lot banging on about Sydney, I'm very cranky, because you know they're my team. Bring back Terry Butcher, though.
Terry Butcher, Terry Henry, you're all the same.
It doesn't matter who the coaches of that club it seems to be. They're all rubbish.
Okay, so is that what's your concern this week?
No.
No, you're not concerned about Sydney. What are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about your mate, Fozzie.
My mate Fozzie, Craig Foster. What's up with Fozzie?
The most boring man in football.
Hey, leave me out of it. Now, you're still talking about Fozzie, are you?
Yes, I was. You're the second most boring man in football. You know that.
Okay, well, what's Fozzie done to upset you now?
Well, I read his Sun Herald article on the weekend, his analysis of the Socceroos performance against Bahrain. And, this is only, bearing in mind, this is weeks after it was the best ever Socceroos passing performance against Holland when we beat the third-ranked team in the world. What was it? 1-0? 2-0?
Yeah, 2-1.
Anyway, so this week, and admittedly, look, we all know that Australia have played really poorly and they were very lucky to get away with a win. But he's going on about the arrogant Aussie attitude and quoting, Tim Cahill, who made some glib throwaway remark about, the difference between the current generation and previous Socceroos teams is their professionalism. Well, you can't really argue with that. But it was just a very negative article. And when I thought that, every player I saw being interviewed afterwards, they all acknowledge they played really badly. But, yeah, hey, we got away with a win, 3 points. Take it.
So why do you think Fozzie would write something like that? I mean, he's a keen supporter and passionate supporter of the game. He would be as delighted with the win as myself, really. What do you think?
I think he was scratching around for something to fill an article with.
So you think the performance was acceptable, do you?
Well, I don't think, no, and that's the point. And no player that I saw interviewed said, and the coach as well said, that the performance was acceptable. They were lucky, they acknowledged, they were embarrassed to come away with a win.
So, go on.
So my point has been, though, but he's actually attacking their arrogance. I mean, why can't he just say, well, they played poorly? You know, they were played poorly against a team that had been in the camp for 3 weeks. They played on a poor pitch. It was a poor performance. Let's move on. We got 3 points. We're one step closer to South Africa.
And so do you think we're going to go to South Africa?
Of course we are.
Of course we are. Okay.
There's a dead rubber coming up in Japan, which I think you're going to in February. Is that right, Adrian?
That's no dead rubber, mate. Japan are going to be desperate to win. It's going to be 72,000 people in the stadium. It's going to be Australia.
And you.
And me. Well, that's another story that we'll get onto in a moment if I can get a ticket. But 72,000 people between probably the two biggest teams in Asia. It is going to be the clash of Asia.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be fantastic.
And I think we're going to win.
Ooh, I don't know whether we're going to win. Well, did you see the Japanese side take Qatar apart?
I did.
Well, I think...
And we took Qatar apart as well.
Well, we did. We didn't take Bahrain apart, though.
No, we didn't, but neither did Japan.
OK, so you don't think Fozzie has any points, really, of any value in
well,
that?
Well, I don't think Fozzie ever has any points of any value, to be honest with you, and I just think he is the most boring man on football.
OK.
At least he didn't mention... I have fair play to him. I don't think I actually... saw once in this whole entire article the word technical, which I think is a big achievement for him.
What about the word tactical?
He might have done.
Okay. All right, Terry, well, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks for joining us. And when you've got something else on your mind, be sure and give us a call.
Definitely. And I think you should lay off Sydney for the time being. They're going through a bad trot.
What do you mean they're going through a bad trot?
Well, they're rubbish.
said Sydney's greatest fan. All right, Terry, thanks very much. Get back to it.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Cheers, bye. Okay, that was the voice of Terry Henry giving it to Craig Foster because he doesn't like Craig. And the Sydney fan's not happy. Now, we're going to talk proper Socceroos, not what Terry said, because Terry doesn't know a lot about football. He's a bit of an Arsenal fan. the Socceroos versus Bahrain, 1-0. What are your thoughts, Michelle?
Well, I'm happy that they won. And we could go over how badly they played. But in the end, we won and went one step closer.
I'm not only happy that they won, I actually sat through the game at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know.
Painful.
Well, it was painful. I mean, when you sat there from 2 till whatever it was, 4 o'clock, what do you do now? On your own, in your lounge room, in Canberra. You're watching that sort of rubbish and mm-hmm. you sort of think, well, yeah, I'd be happy with 0-0 because, you know, you just wanted to qualify. But my God, when that goal went, it was fantastic. Now, you can tell me that it was rubbish football. You can tell me they played awful. But. I went
it's
to bed
woke
at,
up.
At 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like a happy boy under the covers. It was just so, it was fantastic. You know, we got a win with 9 points. We're flying. Having said that, Fintan, what went wrong?
I can't say. I don't know if it was the players that were on that took part in on the field weren't quite the same bunch of players, but the nucleus of the team was the same team. So I'm not sure how they go from playing well 1 week or a couple of months ago and now so bad. They got outplayed pretty much in every aspect of the game.
I looked up the word verbeek in the Dutch dictionary and it means very lucky, apparently. I mean, when you think Ooh. About... No, I made that up. But I think when you think you played in China, we survived that game by, you know, last-minute penalty save. Mm-hmm. Iraq at home, we should have been flogged and we won. And now Bahrain away, we've... you know, they've got all their players out and we somehow managed to sneak a win. So he is the luckiest man. Harry Kewell was rubbish. Josh Kennedy was worse.
And so was Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill, well, he probably shouldn't have been playing. He didn't look fit, did he?
No.
But, you know, you can go through the team. David Carney, well, he hasn't played a game for months.
No, he looked like pretty rusty there.
Chris Coyne plays for Colchester United.
In the third division.
We know why. Lucas was, he was okay. Luke Wiltshire was very ordinary for him. Jason Kalina, of course, as Robbie Slater said, was absolutely having a fantastic game. But to me, he was well below his standard. Mm. Carl, our beloved Carl Valera from Canberra, he wasn't on his game, but he did okay.
He was okay. Didn't make any mistakes,
no,
but he wasn't
right.
up there pressuring the
We didn't
the
let any goals in.
No. So, you know, Tim Cahill said it was a really professional performance. And,
But I think they missed one player they missed on the right-hand side was Brett Edmonton. I think he would have made a great difference on
he
the right-hand
made,
side.
Yeah, I mean, I think his ability to get forward at pace really does make a difference. And a lot of people bag Brett Holman, but to me, when he came on, he made a difference. He had a bit of pace. And,
definitely, definitely. You know? He's one player that can run with the ball, without the ball. He can put the pressure on players. He can chase the ball around if he has to. He'd do the defending from up front.
And maybe he's not the player that you bring on at the start, but certainly he's got a big part to play.
I think so. I think better Aussies were lucky, definitely.
We are. Now, we're on 9 points. Japan are on 7, Qatar 4, and Uzbekistan and Bahrain are only on 1. My prediction is that 12 points will get us to the World Cup. So if we beat Uzbekistan April the 1st in Sydney, let the party begin. Because with all the other results, if we beat Uzbekistan have got to play Japan, and everyone's going to play everybody. So I think 12 points will do it.
I agree. I think we're going to win.
We are, and I think we can qualify early. So I think it's going to be a great party that night against Uzbekistan.
I thought it was going to be that as well until I saw Japan play Qatar on the weekend, and I thought, and I thought Japan, their style of game and their play was just comparable to the way Adelaide were outplayed.
I turned the telly over at the end of the Australian game just to see, and not only was the green grass on the field, which was interesting in Qatar, which isn't that far away from Bahrain, but Endo was passing the ball, and I thought, oh, I've had enough of him. I've seen him for the last 2 weeks, and he's doing the same.
They play such a beautiful game.
It looks so different, but it will be fascinating, the game in Tokyo, in Yokohama Stadium, between Australia and Japan. And I think this is why we're in Asia, these really big games. We haven't had a big game like away from home in the in there to play against Japan, the champions of
and I know at times that Australia was first start going to, or they were going to start qualifying through Asia, people talked about how easy it was going to be, but I think Australia is having to work for every minute of the games.
This is a fantastic rivalry, Australia Japan. It's bigger than the Bledisloe.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely massive. And I think Australian people need to realise, or the media start to realise, that this is a massive rivalry. It's just fantastic for the game that we're going to be playing them. You know, it's 72,000. When they come back here, there'll be 90,000. And the rivalry is building, and we're going to be playing them many, many more times. It's fantastic.
And Japan's got to play this game for what they lost in the World Cup as well. So they've got a lot to a revenge match, I guess.
And the near post is sending Emin there.
The near post, no expense spared, sending me there if I can get. There was 200 tickets on sale, and I forgot to log on to the computer, so I missed out on my ticket allocation. But fortunately, the FFA have said that they're going to release some more tickets.
200 tickets
after we. Or I complained, and a number of other people. It might be said. No, we've got to go. That's the end of the. The national show, and today with us for the local show, Fitz and Michelle, thanks very much for joining us. Remember, wherever you are, do a Taj Minahan, whichever post you're going to.
Get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Thanks to Capital Football. Thank you for the local football half-hour show. We're going to be talking with Russ Gibbs, who's going to join us in the studio. Russ, here he is, right here. How are you, Russ?
I'm good, Eamon. How are you today?
You're looking good. I listened to the call on the weekend. I wasn't able to get to the game, but enjoyed it very much. I had the beauty of the ABC TV set there in front of me. Turned down the wonderful commentators on the ABC. Turned up 2XX. There you were, Russ Gibbs, Merrin Sherwood, Christine Ng. Fantastic. Enjoyed it, Russ. How was it out there?
It was cold and wet and blustery, which, people would suggest that that's the way the Canberra weather is, but considering it's supposed to be summer, we were a little bit disappointed in the weather. But once again, considering the day we had and it was overcast, it was a bit nippy, wasn't a very pleasant day. 804 people still came through the turnstile, which was a good effort for the Canberra public again.
It's caused a lot of interest on the blog. People always writing in about Canberra United have lots of opinions. Very interesting to see that people are passionate about this and lots of opinions, and even though there are only a few games in, people already start saying we need to do this, we need to do that, which is all part of football. Now we're going to ask anybody who wants to ring in, we would ask if you want to talk about Canberra United or anything else to do with local football or Australian football, you've got a thought or opinion. I guess we'd ideally like to talk about Canberra United, but we'll go with whatever you like. So the number to ring is 6247 4400. We're a community radio station, so bear with us. We're also later on in the show going to talk to Milan Milovanovic. So we'll give Milo, the coach of Actas, a ring in a moment. And we've got plenty of news coming up. Now, if you want to ring, talk football, Do you want to talk to Russ and myself if you've got something on your mind, anything you like? 6247 4400. If you don't ring, that's fine, no worries. But we're going to play a promo. Now is a fantastic time to ring if you would like to ring. 6247 4400. Go for it.
There's a minute to go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links. And never mind catching Russ Gibbs on the weekend. He's here right here in the studio. Russ, what is Canberra United? Let's talk Canberra United Women's League.
Yeah, let's. They were pretty good on the weekend. They were a bit unfortunate, to be honest. A 0-0 draw at home to Adelaide, and when on the face of it, on paper, it doesn't look like the best result you're going to get. But considering they were down to 10 players very early on with the dismissal of Thea Slatcher after 8 minutes, they performed well, and it was that old bugbear. I believe there's people on the forum, on the blog, been making a note of it this week about not taking the chances. There were some opportunities on offer to a number of the Canberra United players on the weekend, but they're just not there at the moment. They just can't quite get that goal.
If you want to talk football, you can ring us on 6247 4400, 6247 4400. Give us a call. Now, a lot of passion on the blog about the game, certain players and that sort of thing. But I was really impressed with the whole team. I mean, the referee, obviously, you've got to talk about the referee, because to me, the referee didn't ruin the game, because obviously Canberra United came back quite well from playing a person down. Restructured themselves quite nicely, and in fact, I thought they should have won the game. But just to say, Thea Slatcher's send off, well, I don't know, it wouldn't have been sent off in a blokes game. And I think the fact that the referee booked a lot of players, that's a lot of them were very harsh. I mean, to me, I don't know the difference between men and women's football. I would assume that you've got to treat the same, you know, if it's a physical challenge, it's a physical challenge. If it's a dirty foul, it's a booking or whatever. And if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. It's, you know, it's the same rules for the game, as far as I know, the same rules. But I was watching a different game there with the referee, and those refereeing standards would not apply in men's football, I don't believe.
No, I mean, the dismissal was, I think we can say it was fairly ridiculous. I mean, it was an innocuous sort of challenge over on the far side. Yeah, it was a 50-50. I think Thea Slatcher went in with it with Stephanie Tokic, and Tokic just got there first, and Slatcher happened to catch her reasonably high. I mean, to get a free kick was obviously the right call. To get a card, a yellow card would have been harsh, but to get a straight red was quite ridiculous, really.
Also, the advantage play, or the advantage rule, I mean, at no time did the ref play the advantage rule. And again, that was really frustrating for both teams, and particularly for those of us sat at home watching on telly. It was, it just slowed the game a bit. But still, it was a good game, it was a great battle, and Canberra United did restructure it. So I think we've seen enough of Canberra United now after five games to get a feel for the style of play and how they're going. I mean, the five games into a season, it's not easy to form a team and get them playing, but clearly Robbie Hooker is playing a very fast game. He's got some very fast players there. He's trying to get his players forward. Defensively, fine?
Yeah, I think defensively we're probably one of the best, if not the best, defence in the league. Okay, Queensland have only conceded a couple of goals, but we shut them out.
Lydia Williams, what an absolute fantastic save, wasn't it?
It was sensational.
Sharon Black went through, and you could see that Sharon Black probably didn't have the pace to carry it forward, so you thought, what was she going to do? But, you know, like almost like Charlie Miller in the Queensland Royal side, experienced player, just thought, well, I'm not going to make the odds, but I've got the ability to put it just under the bar. And 99 out of 100 times, even in women's football, that would have been enough to beat any keeper.
Yeah, she broke away. I mean, it was a good break, and it was clear she didn't have the legs. It was fortunate for Canberra that she didn't. I think if that had been Tokic, she would have been gone.
Yeah, some of the criticism of women's football sometimes is that, you know, the goalkeepers are on high balls, not always as effective as the blokes. But Lydia Williams, absolutely stunning save. Arched the back, tipped it right underneath the bar. I mean, it's the best save I've seen so far in the competition.
Yes, and he was. I mean, Sharon Black, as you said, got hold of it brilliantly, and she got a good piece of it, and it was dropping in. For Canberra, I thought that Grace Gill had a sensational game, considering that she started off in the centre of the park when Thea Slatcher was sent off. She moved to centre-back, And composed herself there and was brilliant all afternoon.
She did, and she's, I mean, and I think herself, Sian Macheski, they're really not improving, but they're taking the opportunity that the W League's providing, and I suppose it's giving people like me a chance to see these players, and I'm really enjoying it, seeing them, you know, step up to the different challenges that they've got. Actually, Sykes, I can't go past. I mean, I love my strikers, on you know, as you know, and to see a player, I mean, a player with pace always excites the crowd, and when I think there was one moment in the second half where she controlled the ball, turned and went away from a defender, I think Di Aligic, and she just flew down the wing. And then when she did get, you know, in towards the goal, she held the play, held the ball up, looked for a partner, but she actually had a shot, hit the post. I mean, it was just superb play.
Yeah, it was. I mean, she when she got the ball, I made the analogy on the weekend that when Cristiano Ronaldo gets it from Manchester United, the crowd are up, there's a buzz. And it's the same with young Ashley Sykes, obviously not on the same level. But when she gets the ball, there is a buzz around the ground. The people think, well, something's going to happen. She's got pace, she's got ability. Mm. She got in on a number of occasions on the weekend. Yes, she was disappointed not to score a goal. But to be fair, we've got to remember that she's still quite young. She was playing against an international goalkeeper in Emma Workus, who's made a couple of good saves, the one with the foot in the second half when Sykes got in and drilled it across goal. Was a good stop with her feet. A couple of other chances she had, hitting the post, of course, when she got in. I think it's only a matter of time before Canberra do start scoring some goals, and with the defence they've got, with the back four and in the inclusion, of course, of Rhiann Davies now, that came in and did well for 65 minutes or so, and of course with Lydia Williams in goal, they're going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, and it's great to see these young players like Beck Keating getting a go, you know, obviously Nicole Sykes and Jenny Bissett, is it?
Jennifer Bissett. Yeah,
they didn't get much of a go on the weekend. But, you know, slowly but surely, Bronwyn Studman had a good game, I thought. I hadn't seen her play before. Young Matilda, very aggressive, got right in there. But in the first half particularly, you know, she really made a mark, I thought. So, again, it's great to see these players getting a go and really taking the opportunity. Chrissy Walters is back this weekend for Canberra. So, there's a, you know, Thea Slatchy might be out, but I presume Chrissy Walters will not necessarily play centre-back, but there's room to manoeuvre maybe Rhiann Davies or Grace Gilligan.
I think, Robbie Hooker might even start with young Rebecca Keating. She's done well in the first couple of games she played against Newcastle and especially against Queensland Raw. She was excellent in the centre-back position there alongside Thea Slatchy. And of course, with Rhiann Davies back in there as well, she could slot into the middle. And as you said, Grace Gill could go there as well. There's plenty of options as well. And of course, I think Hayley Crawford is due back. She's another striking option. She should be back within a week or so. So there's plenty to look forward to. And I think once Sasha McDonald finds her scoring boots and Ashley Sykes as well, I think Canberra could be on the up. Fourth place at the moment is good. I think we can go further.
OK, we'll probably try and fit some more W League in towards the end of the show. But we're going to try and catch hold of Milo Milovanovic, the ACTAS coach, straight after this.
There's a minute to go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links.
And we're just having a few technical difficulties at the moment trying to get hold of Milo. So Eamon's buzzing away. And while he does that, we'll just run through the women's results from the W League on the weekend. Queensland Raw 2, Melbourne Victory 0. Courtney Butel and Tamika Butt scoring for Queensland Raw to keep them top of the table by 3 points. Second place Sydney FC consolidated their position on the ladder with a 2-0 win over the Central Coast Mariners. Lena Karmis scoring her sixth goal of the season in only 5 matches, and Lisa Gilbert with the second, 2 goals in 5 minutes for Sydney FC, giving them a 2-0 victory. And of course, Newcastle Jets beating Perth Glory 4-1. Perth taking the lead through Mariana Tebane after 6 minutes. The Jets, though, with 3 goals in the space of 8 minutes through Kirsten Pierce, Katie Gill and Nicole Jones. And Amber Nielsen netted the fourth, 14 minutes from time. So good result for the Newcastle Jets. And they're flying at the moment with a couple of good results. They're third on the ladder, and it puts Canberra's result up there in the first game of the season into perspective. And I believe now we have some further news with Eamon.
We do, and we're joined now by ACTAS coach Milo Milovanovic. Milo, are you with us? Hello,
I'd
Milo.
I'd like to think I'm still with us. Oh, with you all, yes.
You are. We tried to turn the mic down, Milo, but apparently you have to turn it up to hear you. So I'm glad to hear you. Now, Milo, it's been obviously a big year for you as an ACTAS coach. We're just going to look back, I guess, first of all, over, you know, I suppose what's happened for you with the ACTAS programme and what have been the highlights and some of the key players, I guess, the key developments.
Oh, well, how long have you got?
We've had a fantastic opportunity this year, Eamon, because we've actually been able and allowed to play in the Capital Football Premier Pathway League, which was a significant step forward for us because for the previous 2 years, we actually haven't been able to play in a competition. So that was fantastic. We actually ended up playing as well as in the local league. We ended up undertaking quite a number of other matches, including an overseas tour. So we ended up probably having about 36 or 38 matches for the season, which was fantastic for us.
So that's quite a good number for the young guys. Now, just so people know, Milo, the age of your players would range from what, 15, 16, would they be?
This year we had 15, 16, and then we had really old guys of 17 years of age, yeah.
So is that how it runs every year? Like, basically, if you're 15, 16, 17, they're the guys that you're really aiming for?
Well, we have been in the past, except it looks like from next year, from 2009, we're actually going to have to go even a year younger because the AIS intake is now changing. They're actually looking to bring players in a year earlier, which means that our role at ACTAS is to provide players for the Australian Institute of Sport program and for the Joeys, the under-17 national team. So because everything's been pulled back a year, in fact, we're going to actually have to sort of source players a year younger, if you like, as well.
So just to go there, the players in your squad at the moment, who some people would know probably, Chris Bush, some of the Joeys have come out of your ACTAS squad, is that right?
Well, that is right. This year we actually had four boys who were very much involved with the National Under-17 program. One was Chris Bush, another one was Stephen Dominici, another one was Denai Gapare, and a lad called Ben Harrington. The first three actually were in the Australian Under-17 World Cup squad campaign. Ben unfortunately missed out because he was injured. So had he been fit, there would have been possibly a very strong opportunity. We would have had 4 out of 22 from Canberra representing Australia at under-17 level in the last few months.
That's amazing. I think that's probably one of the first times we've had that. Now, of those, Milo, would those guys be expected or hoping to go to the AIS program next? Would that be a path for them?
That's actually happened. I believe that Chris Bush and Stephen Dominici have been offered AIS scholarships, as has another boy in that age group, a guy called Alex Mybush, who didn't quite make the Joeys, but he was on the radar, so to speak. So all those guys of that age group have pretty much finished with us, which sounds really crazy because they're 1992 born, and it's only 1998. It's 2008. So they're 16 years of age. So we've actually got three on scholarship at the AIS in January 2009. But I'm pretty sure that a couple of the others, like Gapare, will still be involved in their training programs as well.
Okay, so I know that it's still early days, but with the change in the AIS program, what's going to happen to the ACTAS program? I guess it's not defined yet, but what's your thoughts at this stage, Milo?
Well, it sort of is, really, because we've actually been in training now since the 1st of November. We're going to be going through till about the 20th, 22nd of December because we have a tournament in the middle of January, which is all the state institutes and academies from the whole country, from WA to Victoria to Tassie to Queensland, etc., etc. We're having a national challenge, if you like, in Canberra in the middle of January. So we've got a whole new group we've started to work with in preparation for that tournament, which is very significant, actually, because the AIS coaches will be involved, who are also the national under-17 and under-20 coaches. So for the next group, if you like,
that's
for
fantastic.
The under-17s.
So it gives you another, in the middle of January, it gives a great, when a time when most people are thinking about putting up their feet. For the lads, it really keeps them going at this, at that high level of football to challenge against the best of Australia.
Oh, well, most definitely. I mean, we had one of these last year, not this July, the previous July. We had that and we actually took out the tournament. We didn't lose a game. So that was with the previous group, but now we've got a whole new group we're starting with. Ours is actually a 12-month-a-year program. We've just given the boys we gave them the month of October off because the local season finished and a lot of the boys went and represented the Capital Football under-14s and under-15s at the National Youth Championships. Then after that, we give them a month off and then we gear up again. So we actually go from the 1st of November, literally, until the 30th of October of the following year.
Milo, what will happen to some... you mentioned Chris Bush and Stephen Dominici, Alex Maybush joining the AIS. Now, the other guys who perhaps are in the same age group, if you're taking in younger guys next year, what happens to those 16, 17-year-olds who are with you now? Presumably in the past, they would have stayed with you. At the next year, what would happen to them?
Well, I think that a number of them will still actually stay with us who have been identified by the Joey's coach as, you know, they didn't quite make the group this time round, but they're still in the top, you know, 25 to 30 in their age group in the country. So it would be remiss of us to sort of let them go, because they're still in the mix for the next, if you like, the next under 20 team, which is the next step on the horizon for them in a couple of years' time. So some of the boys will actually still stay with us, the ones that have been identified by the Joey's coach and by the AIS coaches.
So, and I guess the other side of it then is bringing in 14-year-olds. In the past, I guess they would have been with a couple of football academy. Does that mean one of the academy sides is going to be disbanded? Is that have I got that right?
I don't think so. What it means is we simply source players a year earlier, basically. So the boys we've got in training and as potential scholarship holders, because they're on trial basically at the moment, are boys from this year's under-14s Capital Football Group and boys from this year's under-15 Capital Football Group. So we're basically grabbing players a year earlier than we would have in the past.
Okay, so if a player misses out at under-15, he can still play with the Capital Football Academy, is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And what, so I guess the other big question is, and obviously I'm very involved in the Canberra A-League bid, we're pushing hard to get the A-League. With you know, for you guys, Milo, how important is that? Because obviously you're producing, if you're producing four or five players for the AIS or for the Joeys, I mean, that's absolutely outstanding achievement. But, you know, that next level, I've talked to a few of the guys and they're trying to head off to Sydney or Central Coast or whatever. But obviously, you know, financially, it's very difficult if you're going to get a contract of, what, $2,500 or whatever. How important is it for you and your lads to see an A-League team in town?
Oh, look, I don't know how important it is. There's nothing more important, to be honest, from a football perspective, from a male football perspective. See, with boys still develop until 20, 21, 22 years of age sometimes. And what's actually, unfortunately, happening now and has been for a few years. See, a few years ago, we had a Bill Connon who were in the New South Wales Premier League. Then we had a Canberra Cosmos who were in the National League. So there was, after ACTAS, you either went to the AIS or you could go to the Bill Connon. And then you could move into the National League. So it was actually quite a progression and a number of stepping stones to then actually make the National League. At the moment, if our boys at age 17 are sort of finishing their time with ACTAS, because we are age restricted, what happens is that they either, I don't know, some of them actually leave town. We've actually had a few guys now have left town, Sam Munro and Kofi Danning. They're playing at Sydney FC's youth team. Others will go and play locally, like Taylor Beaton, Luke Pilkington and that. They're all, a lot of these guys are playing local Premier League, but they're still 17, 18 years of age. But they still need another, perhaps 3 years or maybe even more of development in them. And unfortunately, we just don't have the that for them, which is a real, real shame. But if we had an A-League team, then they would have an A-League youth team, and then I guess all the bits fall into place for the local players.
Certainly does pretty quickly. So next year for you, Milo, what's on? Are you starting in January? Well, next year,
well,
I suppose it starts already,
we're
doesn't
on
it?
Now.
Yeah, that's
we're
good.
On now. We'll give the lads about 10 days off over Christmas, because we've got this tournament in the middle of January, which we have to prepare for, and it's a completely new group, so there's so much work to do. We're hoping then after that to probably give them another maybe week off after that tournament. Then we start gearing up, and hopefully we'll be fortunate enough to be able to participate in the Federation Cup again like we did this year, and also play in the local Premier Pathway League competition, which was fantastic. There'll be it's planned to have an overseas tour in July to Asia, probably China again this time. And then hopefully participate, if we're good enough, with the next group to play in the finals and try and fill a program with about 36 to 40 matches for the year.
Milo, how long have you been in the job?
In this job with ACTAS?
Yeah.
Well, I've been in this job for about 7 or 8 years now, yeah.
Okay, I'm just wondering, like, if you, a couple of players that stood out in your time who, you know, may not have gone on to the highest level, but in terms of talent, who are the best players that you've worked with?
A guy called Carl Valeri.
I've heard of him, yeah.
You heard of him?
Yeah, so even at 14 or 15, 16, he was way ahead of everybody else, was he?
Yeah, well, Carl was a pretty special player. A guy called Casper Tafta, who captained the Joeys. A guy called Sean Ontong, who captained the under-20 national team. They're just a couple that we've sort of seen through. And now we've got Chris Bush, who's in the Joeys, and a few others. Nikolai Topol-Stanley, he was in our program a few years ago. So I guess there's quite a few who have gone and played international football. There's probably about rattle off the top of my head. I don't know, probably if I thought about, oh, there's another Sam Munro and Dana Milovanovic. So we're suddenly up to about, I don't know, six or eight names off the top of my head who have played international football. Adam Casey, who's played international football in Sydney FC. Then there are a whole heap of other guys who are now playing, you know, in the various New South Wales and Victorian Premier League, and some are even with A-League clubs. So.
Just to ask for a quick word on Casper Tafter. Obviously, he was outstanding in the Under-17 World Cup, and local people may or may not know that he was named in the best 11 in the Under-17 World Cup. Have you been surprised or a bit disappointed with his development, or what are your thoughts there?
Well, it's pretty hard for me to comment because I don't know. I mean, I know he went to Portugal, and then I know he went to Melbourne, and now he's at Newcastle. I actually haven't spoken to him personally for probably about a year or so. But yeah, look, we all had, and we still have great hopes for Kaz. He's still only 19.
Yeah,
actually.
I think he is. Yeah.
I think he turns 20. He might have just turned 19. I think in October or November, so he's still quite young.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I believe, Eamon, is that if you look at any of the first divisions or the Premier Leagues of any country, in a major country, a football country around the world, there are very few 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds who are playing on a regular basis in any of the leagues around the world. You get your special ones like your Rooneys and your Ronaldos, but they're specials. But as a general rule, there are not too many 19, 20-year-olds playing in the Bundesliga English Premier League.
I don't think a lot of people understand that, do they, when they see Wayne Rooney playing or whatever.
Well,
they're
special ones. They're world-class players. But,
yeah.
I mean, let's come back a little bit. How many are playing in the Bundesliga or in the Italian Serie A or in the English Premier League or in the Scottish First Division, for argument's sake? There are very, very few 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds playing regularly in any of these First Division or Premier League competition. So Kaz is still developing as a player. Okay, he's had obviously a little bit of bad luck. He's a little bit out of favour with one coach or so. But you know, they say one man's trash is another man's treasure. So he's just as likely to pop up and continue along the path that we all hope he can continue on.
Now you've been, as I say, at ACTAS for 8 years. Marlo, just briefly, I suppose, have you seen a change in attitude of the young players as a group of young players coming through? Or, you know, how determined would you say they are? Or are these, do they aspire to the highest level, given that we don't have an A-League team? What do you thought? What's the mood of the 14, 15-year-old boys that come through or come into your programmes?
A few years ago, it was quite interesting. It's a very good question, actually, and I think I've got an answer for it. A few years ago, it was... we were like, a lot of the ACT kids were quite timid and, we're playing the big boys from Sydney and the big boys from Brisbane. And it was quite, and even when we participated in the National Youth League, we used to, we'd quite a bit of a trouble. Like, we'd go to play Marconi and they'd be worried about playing Marconi and these sorts of guys. We've actually changed that a little bit. We've done a few things where we're quite happy to go and play anybody and we're more than happy to take them on and show what we can do. Yes, it is a little difficult because you sort of say, you train for this, you train for that, and you want to fill in the gaps between us and the A-League. But the attitudes within the last several years within the Capital Football, Academy and the Capital Football youth ranks and the ACTAS boys has been fantastic. And that's been evidenced by one of our indicators is the number of players who progress into the AIS program and who progress into national youth teams. And our numbers keep rising on a fairly regular basis. So I think that there's certainly been some changes there, and our boys are just as good as anywhere in the country, to be honest, and we're proving that again and again.
Good to hear, and that's obviously why we need an A-League team, so we can show how good our young boys are. Now, the other thing I was going to ask you is, and I forgot the question's going right over, I suppose Dani Milovanovic, obviously your son, just, can you give us a scoop on what's happening with Dani? Is he coming to the end of his AIS programme, or
He is. I mean, the AIS program, the age group that Dani's in at the moment is winding up. He's in the vacuum as well. If there was an A-League team, hopefully he might be good enough to be picked up by an A-League team from Canberra or an A-League youth team from Canberra, youth league team from Canberra. But I believe the financial restrictions on players playing in the A-League youth league are. I think the maximum they can pay players is, several thousand dollars, as you indicated earlier. And, it's pretty hard to go and live in Sydney, Melbourne or Adelaide or Brisbane if you're going to get $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a year. So he's in that vacuum where he's sort of going to be stuck very soon with, with not sure where to go, to be honest.
Okay, well, we wish him well. And I guess, you know, because we're always in the business of names here, Milo, out of the current group that's just come into its early days, I know, but is there any, you know, Kofi Dunning and a lad, Chris Bush, anybody who sort of caught your eye at this early stage? We're not putting pressure on them. We're just, just want to know.
Look, we've had him in for a couple of weeks, and we're looking in at Lino Firazzi, who's my assistant, and I are looking at them and working away. We actually think we've got some quite a talented group coming through from this year's Capital Football under-14s age group. There seem to be quite a few decent kids there, which is probably a little bit of a testament to the information that they've received in the last couple of years through the Capital Football Academy. So I can't name any at the moment, because, to be honest with you, I don't know some of their names myself.
No, but if you had George Best, you'd know it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd probably drinking vodka somewhere.
Yeah. All right, well, Milo Milovanovic, thanks very much for joining us, and good luck as the work continues. No break for you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Okay, cheers, Milo.
Bye.
And that was Milo Milovanovic, coach of the ACTAS boys programme, which obviously Russ is changing next year to accommodate the changes at the AIS under AIS coach Jan Vestlayan.
Yeah, it certainly is. And as Milo mentioned in his interview there, the boys played in the Premier Pathway League this year, and they did well to get to the final. They played really, really well against a lot of players and teams that were a lot more physical than they were, but they showed some good skills, and I think there's a lot of talent coming through there.
Now, we've got a bit of news, have we, Russ? We're going to finish off with a bit of news, and we'll just talk more W League, I think.
Well, I've got a bit of local Premier League news, and there's a bit of a managerial merry-go-round at the moment.
Oh, Amy. Do tell.
Well, the three clubs will be sporting new coaches in the ACT Premier League next season already,
yep,
following the appointments of John Mitchell and Darren Viskovic last week. Darren Viskovic becomes Tuggeranong United's new head coach, taking the hot seat following the departure of Scott Connon, of course, to Belconnen at the end of the last season. And John Mitchell, of course, moves into the vacant ANU FC post. So should be some interesting times there when pre-season gets underway to see how those new coaches go at their new clubs.
I'm very interested in what John's doing at the ANU. He's already started training, which is unusual for ANU. But also he's trying to, you know, I guess, lift the standard of aspiring some of these players who probably have left ACTAS. John's trying to lift the fitness and training levels, and also assist them to make the pathway to an A-League youth side, not necessarily in Canberra, but somewhere else. And, you know, so good on him for taking it on. And it's a difficult challenge, I reckon, but it's certainly good to have people who aspire to the highest level.
Absolutely is. When we caught up on the weekend, when I was at the A-League game with ABC sideline reporter Liz Deep-Jones, who's releasing a new football-based book aimed at the 9 to 14 years old age group. The book's titled Lucy Zizou's Goal, and it's officially endorsed by football superstars Paolo Maldini and Christian Vieri, believe it or not, along with Matilda's coach Tom Samani. And in the words of the author, it features fashion, dance, modelling and football. Look out for that title coming up next year. Speaking of books, I'd just like to mention the official history of Tuggeranong United, which is due to be released next year. If anyone listening has any photographs or reminiscences that they would like to add to this comprehensive history of the club, they can contact myself, Russ Gibbs, at russ.gibbs@mail.com. That's russ.gibbs@mail.com, and we'll be happy to put anything you like in the book.
And we've just got a minute or so to go to Russ, but we don't normally mention other sports on here, but the Rugby Union Player of the Year, he's written a book. I don't know what his name is. He plays for Wales, but he's a bit of a mate of yours, isn't he?
He certainly is. There's a guy called Shane Williams, plays on the left wing for Wales. I went to school with him, played football with him when he was young, and he's written his autobiography, and he felt the need to mention me in it a couple of times in his early days when we banged in the goals for our local football team, which was rather
nice.
And
the truth is, he's no good at football, so if you're not good at football, you try some other sport.
And become World Player of the Year.
Well, you obviously were good at football, Russ, so you stuck with the game.
Yeah, otherwise I could have been World Player of the Year at rugby. Yeah. Obviously, that's how it works.
So, anything else you want to add?
That's about it. I mean, it was just interesting. I was talking about the A-League earlier on. You were in the earlier show talking about Queensland Raw and their reliance on youth. And it was nice to see that their youth grade actually got up 5-1 on the weekend. And there was a hat-trick from Chris Grossman in there. Now, he's scored 8 goals this season. And if they're struggling for goals, which they have done in recent weeks, the pressure's on Sergio van Dijk. There's options there. As the same is with Sydney FC. Brendan Gann scored again for them on the weekend. Sean Rooney's banging in the goals in the youth league. Might be time for these clubs, I think, to start looking at the youth level and get them in there and maybe give a kick up the backside, if you like, to the more established A-League strikers.
I think it is, and I think what it also does, it shows really the strength of the youth league, that now that we're going to have more players who can step up to that next level, and that's exactly what we want from the youth league. So in the past you'd bring in someone cold, but if they're training and playing games in the youth league and they're scoring goals, suddenly making the gap to the A-League not so difficult.
And the first goal of the season in the youth league for Tommy Orr, who's a name that we've heard mentioned quite a bit of time for Queensland Raw. They've got big hopes for him for the future. So he's off the mark in the Youth League as well, and he's one that they really think is going to make the step up soon.
And to leave it on a final Canberra note, Mike Cochran, the Sydney Morning Herald, is suggesting that Kofi Dunning is ready to play for Sydney FC and should force his way into the team. It'd be great to see Adam Casey and Kofi Dunning in the same team, although I suspect they're probably playing the same spot. OK, that's it for us. Thanks very much, Russ, for joining us, and great call on Sunday, and go Canberra United. Let's flog the team from the West, Colette McCullum, and the best and fastest player in the world, Ashley Sykes. No, Lisa Divana. Okay, cheers. If you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Well, you will in a minute, but you just got to listen to this first. Okay, away we go.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.